Matthew chapter number 9. It's good to be back in God's house tonight. See each one that's come back this way. I want to preach to you tonight on what my wife has just sang about. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is bountiful. The harvest is waiting, but the laborers are few. And in Matthew chapter 9 I'm going to start in verse 36 there, and we're going to preach from there. Matthew 9, verse number 36, if you found it, stand with us tonight as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. The Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Our Father, we thank you, God, tonight for your word. We thank you for its hope and its promises, and we thank you, Father, for its encouragement. But Lord, tonight as we look to this passage of Scripture, Father, we see tonight, God, that your word is a challenge to us. Your word is a goad unto us to help us, God, to see the need and to go forth. And Lord, help us, God, to take your word tonight into our hearts and our lives in a manner, God, that is pleasing unto you, and that we would make ourselves willing vessels, Father, meet for the Master's use, and ready to go forth, God, and do that work that's pleasing unto you, that the harvest, Father, might be gathered before it's eternally too late. We'll praise you tonight for what you've done and what you're doing. In Jesus' name we say amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, help wanted. Amen. Hey, you look all over the place and you see signs up that say, "Help wanted." And God, in his word tonight, has told us right here that there's a harvest that is plenteous and there's not enough people doing what needs to be done. And they're needing help. They're needing laborers for the work. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought of help wanted. Amen. It's Labor Day. Why not preach about something that has to do with getting something done? Number one, as Jesus looked and seen the needs, he realized that he wasn't going to be here forever. He wasn't going to be on earth, and he was going to leave a remnant behind that he might snatch those who were hanging out over hell, hanging out over a destiny of an eternity of suffering and torment, pluck them from the flame, pluck them from the fire, pluck them from this world. And he looked around and he gave his disciples a challenge. He said, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." And friends, tonight, I want you to know those laborers are you and I. Amen. Those laborers that are us. And you know, before anybody wants to take on a job, first thing they have to do is realize that there's a need. Amen. And I'll tell you what. The need for me is eating and sleeping. Amen. I want a comfortable place to sleep, and I want good food. Amen. Look, just look at me and you can tell I don't mind eating. Amen. I'm an AME Baptist. Ain't no doubt about it. Always meeting and eating. We don't make no bones about it whatsoever. But praise God, I realize why I get up and go to work every day. I realize why I have got up. I have been working steady since I was 12 years old. My first job was at 12 years old at Chantilly Manor Golf Course over on Route 276. I walked from Elkton to Chantilly Golf Course every morning, and I walked from Chantilly Golf Course back home to Elkton every evening if nobody picked me up. Amen. I've been laboring a long time. I realized there was some needs that could only be supplied if I was willing to go forth and work. Amen. We got to look around and we've got to see the need. As Jesus saw the need, as Jesus made the need known, He helped His disciples to realize that if we're going to get busy for the Lord, we've got to get a grasp of what the needs are. The Bible says in Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know what's going to happen to the church if the church loses its vision for the cause of Christ? Church is going to die off. Amen. Souls are not going to be saved because people aren't telling other people about Jesus. Look at what Jesus did. In verse number 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They were weak. They were growing weaker. Don't we see a nation that's growing weaker spiritually day by day? Amen. We see a nation that's faltering and failing. We see a world that it seems like it's just crumbling under the weight of paganism and false doctrines and false teachings. We see a world that's dying and fainting for the lack of people telling others about Christ Jesus. They get so wrapped up in telling them about everything else, they leave Jesus plumb out of the picture. We got Christian organizations that go around the world and they're doing everything but telling folks about Jesus. Amen. Jesus saw the need and he saw that they fainted. And he saw that they were scattered because no one was telling them about this Savior that could save, this Savior that could deliver, this Savior that could give the help that they needed. And they were going every which way and in every direction trying to find some help and trying to find some answers. People in this world today, they're looking for the answers. They're scattered every which way. And sadly to say, it's because a lot of the folks that from the church house. Amen. Instead of pointing people to Jesus, we tell them, well, go see this fella and go see that fella. Go see this doctor. Go see that doctor. There's nothing wrong with all that. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Put Christ first. Amen. And not make him your last resource. Make him the prominent issue in your life when anything happens. Let folks know that when trouble comes your way, your anchor holds. Amen. When problems come your way, you're trusting in the rock that never moves and the rock that never fails. Amen. We're trusting in Jesus. They were scattered because they had no one pointing them. See, they were without a shepherd. There was no direction. There's no one in this world. And trust me, you go out here to the world, you depend on the school system. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to make some people mad. I know. I'm used to it. Amen. There's nothing wrong with homeschooling if you do it right. Amen. There's nothing wrong with Christian schooling if it's done right. There's nothing wrong with public schooling if you make sure that it's done right. Amen. And you got to understand and realize that in every one of these situations, if you're not careful, it's easy for Christ to be left out of the picture. Amen. It saddens my heart when I see so-called Christian schools that take over the worship sanctuary of a church. Because the school becomes more important. Because it brings in more revenue than the tithers in the church. Amen. That's a problem. Amen. We've lost our focus. We've lost the issue. We've become just as blind as they are. Amen. And the blind leading the blind are going to do what according to the Bible? They're going to fall into the pit. Amen. We can't look to the world for the answers. Amen. And we need to direct them. He said, they're fainting and they're scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. Amen. Who's going to point them to Jesus? Who's going to herd them? Hey, you know, if y'all ever want to get a grasp on it, just come over. I tell you what, come over tomorrow. I got a young lady coming to get some goats. Now, y'all want to get a grasp on this, you just come on over and you help her round up her two goats that she wants. Amen. And you'll get a whole lot better perspective of what we're talking about here. He said they're just scattered every which way. No one is pointing, no one is hurting, no one is directing them back to Jesus Christ. No one is directing them to the source of all the help that they need, to the source of that can answer every care and every need that is in the world today. Let me tell you what, I got the answer for the world's problem. His name is Jesus. Amen? You got to realize there's a world out there that's dying and going to hell because no one is pointing them to Jesus. We got a church that's anemic and sick, it's fainting because they've quit preaching about Jesus. Amen. We've got Christians that live their daily lives, and no one's even aware that Christ is even evident in their lives. They're weak and they're fainting and they're fading. And if they're left to their own, they'll slip on out with no evidence of Christ in their life whatsoever. We got to see the need. And we've got to look around us. He didn't say, look outside of the church. The first place we need to look is right here in the church. Amen. The first place we need to look is at our own lives. And we need to ask ourselves as we look at our life and as we examine our life, am I the Christian? Am I the laborer? Am I the help? Or am I the problem? Amen. I don't know. Amen, Pastor. That's good preaching. We need to hear it. Amen. We blame everything and everybody, but we don't want to take a look at ourselves. Amen. Let's examine ourselves and see if we're fainting and if we're scattered in our mind and in our heart spiritually. Let's see if we're without direction. We're not listening to the one that tells us how to go, where to go, when to go, and why to go. But we're going because we want to go. Amen. We need to be where He wants us to be, doing what He wants us to do. We need to see the need first in our own lives. We need to see the need first in our own church. We need to see the need first in those who are close to us in our families. And then spread out from there. The harvest is plenteous. Amen. It would be good to glean some of those pew warmers that are here every now and then, those hit and miss individuals that come in, to glean a few of them and bring them into the house of God in the right way and for the right reason. See the need. But then look at what else. He saw, but he was moved with compassion. He had a burden. He had a burden. Until you as an individual get a burden, you'll never be a benefit to the Lord. You say, what you talking about, Pastor? I don't want anybody to go to hell. Where's your burden? Where's your burden? Where's your burden? Paul's burden in Romans chapter 9, verse number 3. He said, I wish that I myself could be accursed, that my kinsmen, that Israel, might be saved. Lord, what a burden. What a burden. We talk about our burdens. Yeah, I got a burden. Do you really? Do you really? Do you really, really, really have a burden? Do you really, 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 really care? Do you care enough for somebody that you can make a statement like Paul just made? I wish that I myself could be accursed, that my kinsmen, that Israel, that's a burden. You know when you're going to see things happen? It's when you get a heartfelt, earnest burden. Amen. We can listen to all the sermonettes, and we can listen to all, see all the PowerPoints, and we can see all the sing these choruses together, and let's do this together, and all that, and it don't mean a hill of soup beans if you don't have a burden. Let me tell you this. All the good preaching in the world can't give you a burden. Amen. All the blessings of God in this world can't give you a blessing. All the trials and tribulations that you go through can't give you a burden. Can't give you a burden. You know where that burden has to come from? It has to come from within. It has to be an earnest and true desire to see something happen. Do you really have a burden? Do you have a burden for your own life? That you might be found ever abounding in the work of the Lord? Do you have a burden for your own life that whatever God wants to do with you and however He wants to use you, that you might make yourself available, you might avail yourself to whatever His will might be? Do you have a burden first for your own life and for your own self? Then do you have a burden for your family? You see how it just keeps going out. But first, it's got to start with you. First, you have to have a burden for your own life, that your life is a reflection of what God wants it to be. And you know how it's when God wants it to be what He wants it to be. Over in Malachi chapter 3, it says he's going to try us and He's going to refine us as the silversmith sits before the refiner's fire. You know, when the silversmith knows that the silver is ready and that the silver is pure as it's going to get, is when he can see his own reflection. Do you have a burden for God to be in your life and to work in your life like that? That your life would be a reflection of what He wants it to be instead of what you want it to be? Because if you don't have that burden, all the rest of the burdens aren't going to matter. Because until you can get your own house in order, amen, you're not going to have an effect in anybody else's life. Do I have to do it again? Amen, brother. You catching on? Amen. You're catching on. It's the truth. We're not going to have an effect in our prayer life. We're not going to have effect in our witnessing. We're not going to have an effect in anything that we do for anybody else until we have a burden for our own lives to be a reflection of what God wants it to be. Amen. And let me tell you, when you get that burden and when you allow God to work in your life, and your life starts reflecting Him, you don't have to do a whole lot of preaching. You don't have to say a whole lot. Amen. Because Christ starts popping out all over. And people start seeing what God's doing. He had compassion. He was moved with compassion. If our Savior is moved with compassion the way that He is, why aren't we moved with compassion? Why don't we get that burden, and why don't we just pour our hearts out and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. And then we got to say, pour me out, Lord. Empty me of self, Lord, that You might fill me up, Lord. The fields are white. The harvest is plenteous. But do we care? But do we care? Do we have a burden? Christ saw the need, and He had a burden. He was moved with compassion. When I see the world, I should be moved with compassion enough that I'm concerned enough about my testimony in my life that I want it to be what God wants it to be. And I don't have to look hard to see the need. The need's there. And I want to be honest with you. We don't have to look as hard to see our need as anybody else does. Because we know our need greater than anybody else does. But do we move with a compassionate heart, with a burdened heart, to meet the needs in our own lives, that we might be effective in other people's lives? You know, if you want to be successful in life, you do the things that successful people do. Do you not? I tell young people all the time, say, look, you'll rise or you'll fall to the level of the people that you choose to hang out with. Amen? You choose to hang out with a bunch of druggies and a bunch of people that don't care about anything, and I guarantee you, before long, you'll not pick them up. They'll drag you down. I've seen it happen many and many times. I've seen adults that started hanging out with friends that hung out in the wrong places, and, I'm just trying to be a witness to them, and I'm just trying to tell them about Jesus, and before you know it, they're out doing the same thing they're doing. They're no longer in church. If you want to be like somebody, you do the things that they do. If you want to be like Jesus, you do the things that Jesus did. Amen. He looked to see the need. And then he moves with compassion. Anytime we see that Jesus was moved with compassion, we see that something began to happen. Do we not? He looked on the multitudes that were following him and they were hungry. He was moved with compassion and he fed them. He seen the people with the problems, the different ailments that came unto him. And the Bible tells us he was moved with compassion and he healed them. Amen. We see that he looked at the multitudes that were about him, and he was moved with compassion. And if you go back into verse number 35, you'll find out that Jesus wasn't just a talker. He was a doer. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Why? Because he seen the need and he was moved with compassion. Let me tell you what, church, we need to get off our pews. We need to get busy. And we need to be diligent in doing what needs to be done. The labor is few. The work is great. And there's no one else that we can pass the buck off to because the world can't do it. It's up to you. It's up to me. Look, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He saw the need. He was burdened by the need. And he reacted to the need. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We make all kinds of excuses about why we can't do, but really when you get down to it, we don't have an excuse. Amen. Verse 35, Jesus went about doing the things that he was able. He was teaching and preaching. Every one of us can do that. Every one of us has the ability to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Verse 37, he said, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Amen. He went about doing what needed to be done, but he realized as well that he had to encourage and spur others into going with him. You know, we've tried several times to have a visitation program here at this church, and it gets down to eventually just one person shows up. I did it for a while, and it got to where I showed up, or my wife and I. Sister Nancy tried it for a while. It got down, and it's not new to this church. The last church we was at, me and a brother made it a purpose. We was going to start a visitation program. We run that program for years faithfully. And we said, we're going to go. If no one else does, we'll go. And every Thursday night, we went faithfully. And on occasion, one or two others might come and go out somewhere to visit with us. But for the most part, it was just down to us. Why? People don't have a burden. People don't care. Why? Because we're not encouraging one another. I tell you what, we need to get out and we need to tell the world about Jesus. And we can't do it sitting at home. We can't do it watching the TV. You know, there's nothing on TV much worth watching anyway. You might as well come out and do something that's important. Amen. Jesus was busy about his Father's work, and we should be also. Jesus was encouraging others to get busy, get a visitation program in place that you might go out and tell people about Jesus. And then look at what else he said in verse number 8. He said, pray. Pray. When you don't know what else to do, pray. Amen. When you don't know the answer, pray. When you don't know how, pray. Amen. When you're unsure, pray. When you don't know the people, pray. Amen. Let me tell you what. When you pray, you move heaven. Amen. Amen. And heaven will move on your behalf. I've seen it happen. Amen. I've seen it happen. I know it happens. I know it's true. Jesus said, pray. And everybody's got, well, you know, I got this problem and I got that problem and I can't do this. And he don't want your ability. I like that. I like it sign on the church. God's not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. Amen. Man, if you want to slay giants, you got to show up for the fight. Amen. David never slew Goliath until he got down into the valley. Amen. He had to show up for the fight. Amen. Before God gave him a victory. How are you going to find victories in your spiritual life if you're not willing to show up? If you're not willing to surrender everything? Jesus said, you know, what's it going to gain you if you gain, what's it going to profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What can you give in exchange for? So you can't give anything. The only thing we have and the only thing that's ours in this world to do anything with is our soul. It's the one thing God gives us complete control over. We can choose to use it to His glory. We can choose to surrender it unto Him. Amen? He gives us that right. We can give Him our heart, give Him our life, or we can reject Him and say, no, I don't want you. We can know eternal life, or we can reject it. It's ours. It's our choice. He says the harvest is plenteous. Over in John, he said, the fields are white unto harvest. In other words, what he's saying, there's an abundant harvest, but the laborers are few. My invitation tonight is simply this. Have you ever seen the services where people come up and they have the cardboard signs and, you know, I was a drug addict and they flip it over and, you know, God delivered me and, I've seen some, you know, horrific ones. I was a prostitute and God delivered me. God saved me, delivered me from that. I was homeless and God, you know. They're neat. They speak volumes. Wednesday night, I asked how many were willing to turn the world upside down. How many in this church are willing to go out and turn the world upside down? Tonight, my invitation is this. Help wanted. Perhaps you didn't hear me. Help wanted! Who's willing to come? Who's willing to say, I'll enlist. I'm willing to work. That's your invitation tonight. Help wanted. Who'll come? Help wanted tonight. Who'll come?